So we're starting Parshas Vayikra, and Sefer Vayikra for that matter as well, in the Meshech Chochma. Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra is chock full with the Meshech Chochma's derech of trying to bridge the Torah Shebiksav and the Torah Shebaalpeh. There's certainly enough halacha here that he goes to town, so to speak. Again, Kedarkeinu, so we're going to take a couple of selective portions, but I want to start at the very beginning with the Hakdama, the introduction that the Meshech Chochma has to Parshas Vayikra and indeed to Sefer Vayikra as a whole. Sefer Vayikra, of course, is all about Karbanos. So the Meshech Chochma laid out a very innovative way of looking at the whole idea of Karbanos in general. That's on page Kuf Samich Zayin, the very, very beginning of Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra, right from the very beginning. Page Kuf Samich Zayin. Kuf Samich Zayin. Hakadmonim nechleku b'tam hakarbonos. So as the Meshech Chochma, we know that the commentaries, the Rishonim, the medieval commentaries, argue about the reason we have karbonos. Hamore omar ki hu l'harchik leiv ha'odom e'avodah zorah. The Rambam, in a very famous and somewhat controversial passage in Mor Nevuchim, writes that the reason behind karbonos is to distance us from avodah zorah. That the Jewish nation had been engaged in Avodah Zarah, which involved so much Karbanos. And the Rambam writes, the whole system of Karbanos that we have is intended to gradually wean us away from Avodah Zarah. This, of course, is a very controversial Rambam, because it makes it sound like the Karbanos don't really have inherent value, they only have instrumental value. That the in other words, an ideal world, this seems to be saying, we wouldn't have Karbanos. The Karbanos were there as a kind of bidyeved, as a less than ideal way of just drawing the Jews away from Avodah Zarah. But sounds like if really all things being equal, we shouldn't have Karbanos altogether. And all, of course, all the Rishonim jump on the Rambam. How can you say such a thing? How can you even imply? The Rambam doesn't say it, but how can you even imply such a thing that the Karbanos are a concession? I mean, you have a whole Sefer that's devoted to Karbanos. The Rambam himself, in Yad HaChazak, in Mishneh Torah, devotes 2 out of the 14 Svarim of the Mishneh Torah to discussing Karbanos. Right? So the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim is generally considered to be a very, very difficult position, one that's difficult to understand and one that's difficult to reconcile with the way Torah thought proceeds in general. Someone was just asking me a shul in Shalashudas, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago. The person said, I don't know, I was always led to believe that Karbanos is just a concession. I told him, well, there is a Rambam that sounds a lot like that, but the Rambam is probably not considered to be the mainstream opinion in this matter. Right? The Meshech Chochma, as we've noted before, is very fond of the Rambam, Rambam Mor Nevuchim. So what the Meshech Chochma is going to try to do over here is to explain this Rambam in Mor Nevuchim so that it's not some kind of shitas yachid, some kind of lone opinion that stands at odd with all of the rest of the opinions of the Rishonim. He's going to try to show how the Mor Nevuchim really is, one and the same with mainstream Jewish thought on the topic. Right, so that's the Rambam. The Rambam writes that the point of Karbanos is to try to wean us away from Avodah Zarah. The Haramban v'siyato amru, in contrast, the Ramban, and basically siyato, which means everybody else, right, the Ramban, and the people at his corner, they disagree, and they say, ki hu l'karev kol kochos ha'olamos. Karbanos, no, they have intrinsic value. The point of Karbanos is to bring down all of the spiritual powers in the world. So hu inyan elektri ruchani, it's like a spiritual electricity that the Karbanos have, asher pegulas ha-Kohen, yaseh gevolos ba'olam ha-shonim ki yodua. The Kohen, through his actions, is able to be part of things, to do things, to accomplish things that we can only begin to imagine in spirituality. Right? So the Ramban, basically everybody else, says the Karbanos have inherent value. They do things. I mean, again, we don't fully understand what they do, but the Kohen and the Avodah, the Beis HaMikdash, are able to, generate this kind of inherently important spiritual power, and that, of course, stands in strong contrast to the Rambam, who more or less, implies that, this is just a kind of concession. you know, to take the Jewish people away from Avodah Zarah. So who's right? So Zakhtavash Chachma, they're both right. There's a way to really make the Rambam and the Ramban come out on the same side. How so? That seems like a pretty neat trick. So he says as follows. Ki karbonos boma heim rak laharchik avodah zara milavavos amo Yisrael. V'chein tziva ki achtiru l'shem shamayim. You're right, says the Meshech Chachma, when the Rambam spoke about the purpose of karbonos being a kind of concession to wean the Jewish people away from Avodah Zarah, he was talking about the karbanos offered up at a bama, at a private altar outside of the Beis HaMikdash, or outside of the Mishkan, right? Not allowed to bring them outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But a private bama outside of the Mishkan, you're right, the karbanos offered up over there don't have any intrinsic function, they're simply to wean us away from Avodah Zarah. Lochen karbonos beis hamikdash, hem vaday lekarei ha'olamos lechaper dodim. Right? Not so the karbonos of the beis hamikdash. The karbonos of the beis hamikdash have an intrinsic function. They create the spiritual electricity of which the Ramban and the other Mefarshim speak. They are not simply for the purpose of weaning us away from Avodah Zarah. They have an intrinsic value and an intrinsic function all to themselves. So basically, in a nutshell, and he's going to develop this a little bit further, in a nutshell, the Rambam was talking about karbanos by Obama. The Ramban was talking about karbanos offered up in the Beis HaMikdash. Or to put it slightly differently, because that doesn't really sit well, so the Rabbi Moran of Huchim was only talking about karbanos on Obama. I mean, Iker Chasar Min HaSefer, you would expect him to say something like that if that's what he really meant. So I think what the Meshech Chachma means is follows. The concept of karbanos generally has that element of weaning us away from Avodah Zarah. That's what the Rambam is talking about more in Nevuchim, right? But karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash specifically, right? The notion of bringing karbanos in the Mikdash, that has a unique and intrinsic power, which is not just about being anti-Avodah Zarah, that has a power all its own. Right, the Rambam doesn't identify the notion of a bama in Mor Nevuchim because what he's talking about there is karbanos generally. In other words, you know, the fact that you can offer up, we think of the bama as being something sort of off the main radar screen because bamas were also ever since the Beis HaMikdash was built. But really, if you think about what a bama just means the ability to offer up a karban anywhere. So karbanos generally, you know, according to the Rambam, have the role of just taking us away from Avodah Zarah, but when you offer karbanos in the mikdash, and Sefer Vayikra to a large extent could just be talking about, you know, karbanos in general. Much of the karbanos we learn about in Vayikra are applicable in a bama as well, you know, the private karbanos. I mean, Sefer Vayikra opens up with the olas yachid, with a karban that's brought by an individual, right? So much of that is applicable in a bama as well. But the notion of bringing karbanos specifically in the Beis HaMikdash, that's not what the Rambam was talking about in the Mor Nevuchim. And indeed, when the Rambam spends so much time talking about karbanos in the Yad HaZakah, where it's clear that he holds the karbanos as having an intrinsic function, that's where he's talking about karbanos in their role in the Mikdash. Marsonsi acharizvam edivri ralbag v'toalos of the Melachim, akro dirak bebomos mizabeach u'machtir. In fact, afterwards I found, says the Meshech Chachma, in the Ralbag, in his commentary to Malachim, the Ralbag, at the end of chapters in Navi, has what he calls the Toalios. What are the purposes? Why did the Navi see fit to share all of these stories? So at one point in Malachim, the Ralbag writes, Sha'af Shahayu Mutaros, Ein Bohem Kavana Atzmis. Right? That with regard to the Bamos, says the Ralbag, even though the Bamos were Mutter, they don't have any intrinsic function to them, which the Meshech Chachma says sounds like what I'm saying. The karbanos and the Beis HaMikdash have an intrinsic function. The karbanos and the bama really don't have an intrinsic function. Their role is just to be a preventative against Avodah Zarah. So Makar Lozeh, where do I find a source for this idea? Says the Meshech Chachma. Hadisnan Reish Paras Chafes. In Masechta Zvachim it says as follows: Ein Reach Nichoach. Bebama ketana. Right? There's no such concept as reyach nicholach by a bama katana, by a bama. What do you mean there's no reach nicholach? Reach nicholach is not so much a halachic term. Reach nicholach means that it's going to be acceptable to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So says the Meshechacha, what I think that means is that reach nicholach means that the carbon has an intrinsic, inherent value to it. God loves this carbon. So by Obama, God doesn't love, so to speak, the carbonos of Obama. Alright, under certain circumstances it's mutter, but it doesn't have any, it doesn't do anything intrinsically for the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Hare the Kav Shei Bama Eina Mureyach Nicholach. Uvezeh Yuvan Hoda Amir Ev Nassim. That Hanoder Ki'ilu Bono Bama. Right, we can also understand the statement of Rav Nassim, Masicht Nedarim, that if a person takes a neder to do something, it's as if he's building a bama and bringing karbonos upon it. Why did the Gemara take the example of building a bama? Kilo hikrif karbon. I know they're kilo hikrif karbon. Why do you have to come onto a bama? Hainu shabama hu l'daras shomei avodasara. The whole point of a bama is to create a gather, to make a fence that we shouldn't fall into avodasara. That's the whole role of a bama. So too the role of a neder, says the Meshechacha, is to create a gather. A neder gather, right? It was the point of a vow is to create our own personal fence to prevent us from falling into whatever it happens to be. So the same way that the bama doesn't have intrinsic value, the neder also doesn't have intrinsic value. If the thing I was neder not to do had intrinsic value, it would be a mitzvah or an avera. The neder is something that I do that's instrumental just for me to take upon myself. That plays the same role as the bama that doesn't have any intrinsic value. Its value is totally instrumental. Right? So the Meshech Chochma, when the Beis HaMikdash although bringing a carbon by a bama you would think is a good thing intrinsically, because you're keeping yourself away from Avodah Zarah, but, you know, when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, your statement that I'm building this bama to keep myself away from Avodah Zarah lacks something. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to be found in the Beis HaMikdash, and again, let's just go back to what we learned last week from the Meshech Chochma. Whenever bamos are mutter, the aron is not in the mikdash or the mishkan, right? So in other words, the presence of Hashem is lacking to some extent in the mishkan, you know, when the bamos are mutter. When the bamos are aser, it means that the aron, symbolizing the presence of the Shekhinah, is in the mishkan, is in the Beis HaMikdash. So once HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is felt in the mikdash, why would you do anything else outside of that to prevent yourself from falling into the clutches of Avodah Zarah? Just go to the Mikdash, go to the Beis HaMikdash itself. No, because that would be awesome, right? In other words, that would be awesome, right? So it's a bama that's permissible, meaning during the time of Gilgal or Nov Givon, during the times that it was Mutter, its role was to make a gedder for myself against Avodah Zarah. But once the Beis HaMikdash is standing, that gedder has no purpose anymore. Because, what do you mean, you know, go there yourself against Avodah Zarah? Just go to the Beis HaMikdash. That's the best way to prevent yourself. Meaning when? Okay. Yeah. Because of the Reach Nicholach, you say. Right, so I think we have a tradition that Mizbeach was on the Mokom HaMikdash, right? That Mizbeach that Noach built was on the Mokom HaMikdash. So in a sense... I'm sorry? I think that's the Midrashic tradition, that he was Makriv Karbonos on the Mokom HaMikdash. Right, so if that's the case, then the Reach Nicholach fits in very nicely by Noach. By Yoach Hashem is Reach and Nicholach. But in that particular case, you know, Noach was, in a sense, establishing his own pre-Mikdash Mikdash, right? And it was first serving the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash.
Maybe it's just that the Rambam is saying that it's go to the Mishnah, but you know, you go with the Mishnah, but maybe you go to the Mishnah, maybe that's your end place, it's your
position. Right, no, but I think the issue would be, being that the Meshech Chochma identifies Reach Nicholach with the Mikdash, right? How do you answer that pasuk that talks about Reach Nicholach, which, again, in his terminology means that there's an intrinsic value to it. So I'm suggesting that maybe, again, I think the Midrashim say over there that was the Makam HaMikdash. So Mimela, this was the kind of Mikdash. It wasn't a Baba. It was Begeder Mikdash, you know, that he was doing.
So according to this explanation, why would Baba be Aser?
Oh, so we'll get to that. That's the next paragraph of the Meshech Chochma. Yeah.
Didn't the offspring, if it was this time, the others, there was no mission, there was no Beis Hamikdash.
Right.
So they weren't sacrificing the Makom HaMishkan.
Right, and they brought Bava, and they brought Kabbalah on Bava.
Right. But did they do it specifically to show thanks, not because they had a gift to her from a bite Zara and they couldn't control themselves? And they finally, they couldn't hold out anymore, they had a little Obama.
Right. So you might say, so again, the question is, so by the Avos, it's hard to say that the Avos were being machdir themselves against Avodah Zarah. Machdir, Megadir, Goder themselves against Avodah Zarah, right? And yet we find that they brought Karbanos on Bamos and not in the Makom HaMikdash. I mean, that's clear, you know, they're building Mizbechos, you know, and all over Eretz Yisrael. What's the role of those Mizbechos? Perhaps the answer is the Avos are trying to pave the way for others. Meaning, the Avos are trying to spread this new religion that rejects Avodah Zarah. Maybe they didn't need the Karbon as a way of preventing themselves against falling into Avodah Zarah, but maybe for their followers, you know, again, Avraham Avinu has thousands and tens of thousands of Talmidim, according to the Rambam, right? So for their followers, they're setting an example of, you know, we no longer worship Avodah Zarah. Instead, we are only worshiping the Rebbe Shalom.
What's the stop somebody from confusing
about how it's to God? Right, in other words, you know, when the person brings the carpet.
No,
right.
Someone doesn't know, or let's say, one of the Talmidim of Avraham, who had the message yet, or...
No, so, and as Avraham Avinu tells the Talmidim, this... You know, we're worshiping God at this Mizbeach. You know, I mean, yeah, so he tells them this is for the Rebbe Shalom. Right? Okay, so let's just see the next paragraph. Ubizan is scowling me so much Chidish Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen, the Megillah Dafyu, the Manda Omer, Lo Kitchel Asi Lovo, Mikomakom, Bibama Osir Lahakrit Yuyan Shom. Now, the question Chaim may raise before. So, if you hold that the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is forever, right, even after it's destroyed, Kedusha l'shayit of a Kedusha l'asid lavo, that the Kedusha stays forever. Alright, so I understand why the Isser Bamos is forever. But he quotes an opinion in Taisus in Megillah, that even if one were to hold that lo Kedusha l'asid lavo, that the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, is not going to be forever, nonetheless, the Bamos is still going to be Osir once the Beis HaMikdash is built. Why should that be? Once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, so then why should there be an Isser Bamos? We should go back to what we had before.
Particularly, we might have said last week about
the Aron. Right, if the Aron is not there, right, then all the Beis HaMikdash isn't there, so then why don't the Bamos go back to being Osir? So I'll tell you why. It's based on my Yisod, he says. Mishum the Anshe Knesset HaGadola, but literally Yitzra Davod Azara. We know that the Gemara tells us that the Anshe Knesset HaGedola did away with the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. Im kein tu ein sorech lahakriv l'bama l'gdor ha'ame Avodah Zarah. So once that happens, there's no need for a bama anymore. The bama only serves a role when people have a taiva, when they have a desire to do Avodah Zarah. Once there is no Yetzara for Avodah Zarah anymore, as described by the Gemara, that Chazal got rid of it, whatever that means exactly. So now, the whole role of a Bama eternally makes no sense, right? The Bamas were only Mutter when they were Mutter, to draw the people away from Avodah Zarah. Now there's no more Avodah Zarah, there's no more possibility, really, for Avodah Zarah. The Yetzara for Avodah Zarah has been yanked away. So if that's the case, so Bamas play no role in Judaism anymore. Ve'ein chesed slashem bebokr betzon bebomo. She'einam l'reach mincholach. Rach b'shvil adirom shlo yakrivu l'avodazoro. Im kein tzu kibod lo yisra d'avodazoro. Also akriv bebomo. So then once there's no more avodazoro, or no more yetzahara for Avodah Zarah, so the concept of being makriv karbanos by Obama also falls by the wayside. So you can understand that correlation, says the Meshech Chachma, based on this yesod, this idea that I'm saying over here. If karbanos by Obama had an independent value to them, right, not just to take away from Avodah Zarah, we would be left with the question, why is it that once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, that we can't revert to the notion of being makriv karbanos on a bomb?
Was there a timeline between the time of at least the first Beis HaMikdash?
Right, so it would seem from the way he's presenting that if there is a time lag, it's a very short time lag, or that. Maybe even during that time lag, in recognition of the fact that soon after the Churban Abayis, the Eitz Hara of Avodah Zarah is going to be taken away, already, the halacha smooths over that difference. Or it could be, again, it could be that he really learns that there is no time lag, that the bittul of the Eitz Hara for Avodah Zarah, again, it says the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah did away with it. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah lived in the period right after the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash. Perhaps his understanding is that pretty much right after the Churban, they did away with it, seeing that the people, were struggling with, it was bad enough with the Churban as it is, so let's at least take away the Eitz Hara for Avodah Zarah, so that we'll give the people somewhat of a consolation. Another interesting point, just take a look in the next paragraph. Yavur b'zeh psukei Tehillim Nun Aleph. If you take a look at Tehillim Kapitel Nun Aleph, it's a very fascinating way of explaining the psukim in light of this yisod. Tehillim Nun Aleph is said by it's a kapitel of tshuva. L'manaseach mizmor l'David bevoi lav nosan hanavi kasher boil bas shava. This is the kapitel Tehillim composed by David Amelech after Nosan Hanavi yells at him and gives him musar for the whole ma'isa with bas sheva, with whatever the ma'isa was exactly. So over there we find the following. Ki lo sachpot zevach ve'etena. You God do not desire a karbon. I would give it, but you don't desire it. Olo lo sirtze. And you're not interested in olos, you're not interested in zvachim, you're not interested in the various different types of karbonos, right? Then the pasuk continues. Zivche elokim ruach nishvara. Famous pasuk, right? The real karbanos before God is a broken spirit. When a person does tshuva and has charata over his averus, that's the real karbon that a person can bring. A broken heart and a downtrodden heart will not be rejected by Hashem Yisparach. Okay. So if you read those tupsuki, what it seems to be saying is, don't get focused on the karbanos. Focus instead on tshuva, which is a valid message. But then the kapitel ends off with the following two psukim, immediately afterwards. Heitiva v'yirtzoncha sion tivre chalmos Yerushalayim. God, please, again, a pasuk we say Shabbos morning, please rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim and do good things for Tzion. Oz tachpo zivchei tzedek olo b'cholio. Then, when Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, or built, you will desire all of these karbanos. Then bulls will be brought on your altar. So the continuation of the psukim is hard to understand. God, you don't want karbanos, you just want tshuva. And please rebuild Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash so that then you'll really like karbanos. I don't get it. Do you like karbanos? Do you not like karbanos? I mean, within four psukim, David HaMelech seems to change his mind. So says the Meshech Chachma, let me tell you pshat. The pasuk starts off by saying, Hashem, I know you don't really want karbanos. You're not really interested in karbanos. Pirish, b'bama. Right? That first talk pasuk is talking about an b'bama. Remember, this is David HaMelech speaking. At the time of David HaMelech, right? So b'bamas were still built. The Beis HaMikdash wasn't built yet. Right? So bibama shena karbonos l'reach mikolach. I know, God, you don't want karbonos out of bama intrinsically. You have no intrinsic need for karbonos or desire for karbonos out of bama. You know, when a person sins and he's not going to bring karbonos in the Beis Hamikdash, the best way to do tshuva, you know, the best way to deal with the chait is to do tshuva. Zivcha Elokim Ruach Mishvara. However, itiba v'yisod v'asiyot v'nechomos v'yushalayim oz tachbo zivcha tzedek olo v'cholil. When the pasuk goes on to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please rebuild Yerushalayim, and then you'll desire karbonos. She'oz yeh etzem ha-karbonos chefetz ha-borit be'emes. When Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, is built, so then you will desire karbonos, because karbonos on a bama are just, you know, that's just anti-Avodah Zarah. If yeah, yeah, no, no. But karbonos in the Mikdash, that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires fundamentally. In your nichbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it for something lofty and exalted. L'kari ha'olamos, u'lehoya l'kol ha'olam kula. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash for intrinsic purposes. That, says David HaMelech, you know, in contrast to now, on a bama, maybe you don't have any particular interest in Yerushalayim of the Beis HaMikdash. I know that then you will have an intrinsic interest in these karbanos. So the seemingly contradictory psukim and tehillim work out, you know, based on this yisod from the Meshech Chachma.
What's the difference, or is there a difference between the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash in terms of this particular yisod? And yeah. I ask this because certain times during the period of the
Right, which we explained last week was dependent on the Aaron's presence in the Mishkan, right? So would the Mishkan carry with it the same idea? Certainly when the Aaron is there. I mean, the question you can ask, putting the two Meshech Chachmas together, is when there was no Aaron in the Mishkan, let's say by Nova Giva, did the karbanos in the Mishkan then still have that aspect of l'reach mikolach? I think so.
And they were not the same as the karbon on a bama, which was winter at that time.
I think so. I think
they served a different purpose.
Yeah, I think one would suggest that karbanos in the Mishkan at any time are like karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, in that they serve this purpose of being mechaber the olamos. You know, what he said last week about the aron somehow being an intrinsic, you know, the aron being a determinant factor as to whether bamos or mutter or aser, I don't know that that would affect his view of the role of karbanos in the Mishkan. Right, so,
and would that tell us anything about the particular yitzhar of bamos
or time? Well, I think just the fact that bamos were mutter during the pre-Bayis Rishon period means that that was still a time where the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah was there. Right, so when it was also, so he said before, when Hashem's presence was in the Mishkan, you know, so just go to the Mishkan. You don't need anything else to be, you know, megadah you against Avodah Zarah. Right, so that I think goes back to what he said last week. God's presence is in the Mishkan in a greater sense when the Aron is in the Mishkan. So then you don't need anything else to, you know, to protect your sense, to protect yourself against Avodah Zarah.
I would appreciate it if Rabbi could take a minute just in the context. We have no Mishkan, unfortunately, we have no Beis HaMikdash. Every morning, with the exception of Shabbos, there's that also, we are substituting in place of the bulls. So, what is that? That's our present day substitution, or is there something more than that we can request?
Yeah, well, the idea behind that is a pasuk, Neshama Svarim Parim Sfaseinu. You know, our lips end up being substitutes for the karbanos. You know, in the absence of the ability to actually bring karbanos, which, again, the whole idea that that's something we yearn for is what he's bringing out over here, is because we believe that the karbanos and the Beis HaMikdash do all these kinds of incredible spiritual things, and we're lacking. You know, it's bad that we don't have them. It's not just indifferent that we don't have karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. But, you know, what we can do now is to say the parashios of the karbanos, and it's as if we brought them on some level. Right? So, obviously it would be better to actually bring them, but, you know, short of that, you know, saying the parashios is ki'ilu, it's as if on some level we're able to bring the karbanos.
one thing here. It says here that Rachel has preferred the Barsis to Mikdash rather than the Babos. Yet the Babos are in covered against the Bogazar. Which means that if you bring in the cover and the Babos will not be involved in the Bogazar.
Right.
So why should it be better to bring, say, Hakas, the Barsis to Mikdash, and bring something like this?
Well, I think the presence, Hashem's presence in the Beis HaMikdash, I think he's arguing, would accomplish the same thing as bringing the Karbon on the Bama. Meaning, you know, you come to the Beis HaMikdash, you see the Beis HaMikdash in all of its glory and grandeur, and you're exposed to the Shechina, whatever that means, we don't really understand it, but you're exposed to the Shechina while you're there. That's going to do a lot more to prevent you from Avodah Zarah than, you know, going into your backyard and bringing a carbon on your backyard altar. The only thing is, okay, so, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes allowances for the fact that it may be difficult to go to the Beis HaMikdash, okay, or to the Mishkan. So, at certain times in history, Hashem says, you know what, okay, so bring the bum on your backyard. You know, it's okay under those circumstances. But really, you know, when the Shechina is very much in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, again, I think that goes back to what we said last week, when the Aron is there, and that creates a certain level of Hashras HaShechina, where you couldn't help but notice that going into the Mishkan or the Mikdash, Hashem said, look, you know, better go there. That's the better preventive against Avodah Zarah, rather than going into your backyard and doing it there. During the time that Bamos HaMutter and the Aron is not in the Mishkan, I guess the idea is you wouldn't get that sense so much going into the Mishkan of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you might as well go into your backyard. Right. Right, but I
think you're going to
Right. I hear that, but I guess HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from his perspective, thought it was worth it to, you know, insist on the quote-unquote higher standard, and that, you know, people would end up doing that in the end of the day. So this is a very interesting hakdam, a very interesting, you know, introduction to Sefer Vayikra as a whole. You know, and it, again, it reconciles the Rambam with all of the other Mefarshim, you know, which I'm sure the Meshech Chacham was happy about. You know, he had this soft spot for the Mar Nevuchim. So now this controversial Mar Nevuchim is not so controversial anymore. The controversial Mar Nevuchim is really just talking about Bamos, and, you know, isn't decrying in any way or making secondary the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, which clearly even the Mar Nevuchim would agree, you know, does all kinds of incredible things, like all of the other Mefarshim say. Okay, with that as a Hakdama, let's take a look at some specific comments which the Meshech Chachma makes with regard to the Karbanos. I wanted to take a look on page Kuf Ayin Vav. Lechem Isha Lashem is the bottom right-hand corner. And it's taken from Perek Gimel of Sefer Vayikra, where Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra, begins talking about the Shlomim, right? The Karban Shlomim. So he notes that there are three Parshios that talk about the Shlomim. In Perek Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, in Zevach Shlomim Karbono, right? If the person is going to bring a Shlomim as a Karban, so there are different kinds of animals you can bring. Min HaBokar Hu Makriv. If you're going to bring cattle, so this is the way you do it. Then, Pasuk Vav, V'im Min Atzon Karbono. If you're going to bring a sheep, this is how you do it. And then finally, Yud Beis, V'im Eiz Karbono. If you're going to bring a goat, this is how you do it. And again, you know, three parshios going at length. Shlomim from cattle, Shlomim from sheep, Shlomim from goats, right? Meshech Chachma points out that you have one thing with regard to the sheep that you don't have with either the cattle or with regard to the goats. The Pasuk in Aleph says, V'iktiro ha-kohen ha-mizbecha, that the Kohen should bring the sheep as a Karban Shlomim on the Mizbeach, Lechem Isha Lashem. It is bread, a fire offering. Right? We have that at home sometimes. We call it burnt toast. Right? But l'chara, that's not what they talk about in the pasuk. Right? Lechem isha, it is bread as a fire offering l'Hashem, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The reference to the shlomim as being lechem, as being the bread of God, so to speak, is only mentioned here with regard to the sheep, not with regard to the cattle, and not with regard to the goats. Why? And what does it mean anyway to call sheep bread? Right? I mean, sheep is sheep, bread is bread. Right? If you walk into a store in Eretz Yisrael and you ask for lechem, don't be surprised if they don't give you a sheep. Right? They're two different things. Why would sheep be referred to as bread? So he lays down the following yisod. Lechem Yishal Hashem, the bottom of Kuf Ayin Vav at the right hand corner. Nemar lechem bekvasim uvoizim v'lo v'boka. Oh, I take it back, I'm sorry. In the A's as well, when it talks about the goat, by in Pasuk Tetzayin, it says v'ktirom ha-kohen ha-mizbecha lechem isha l'reach micha kocheilet l'Hashem. With regard to the goat as well, it also uses the term lechem, but by bokar, by cattle, it's absent. Why is that? Nira li, ki be'etzem shein lechem nemar al karbono shizmanon kavua. Whenever the word lechem appears, not in general, but with regard to karbonos, lechem means those karbonos that have a set time attached to them. Right? When we often talk about the karbonos and chumash as being lechem, ishel Hashem, God's bread, it's not all karbonos that are described as God's bread. Bread means something that, you know, from the point of view of the chumash, that comes at a set time. Right? Karbonos that come at a set time are called lechem. I'm sorry? I guess in a sense, right. These are the staples. They're not the jellies, you know, the extra, the frills. Koshikovsu Birosh Parishes HaKarbonos BePinchas Et Karboni Lachmi LeIshai Tishmeru. Right, the famous pasuk at the beginning of the, you know, the Parishes HaTamid. Et Karboni Lachmi LeIshai. Bring my karbonos that are going to be my lechem. You know, the things that are set and stable and will sustain the avodas hakarbonos. Chayn meforeish b'taras kahanim. Umiyad ben nechor lo sakrivu lechem elokeyem. Dekoi al karbonos shizmanim kavua. That point is actually made by the taras kahanim. In other words, can a non-Jew bring karbonos to the Beis HaMikdosh? So on the one hand, we have sources that say yes, and the non-Jews did bring karbonos to the Beis HaMikdosh. On the other hand, the pasuk says, "Umiyad ben nechar," from a non-Jew, "lo sakrivu lechem elokeya mikolayla." Don't bring the bread of your God. In other words, don't accept karbonos from a non-Jew. How does that work? Do you or don't you? So explain this to Taras Kohanim. He can bring a karbon nadava, right? In other words, the non-Jew can offer up an own his voluntary karbon, but he can't be the one to donate a karbon for a regular carbon kavua, carbon chovon, the Beis HaMikdash. If he comes and gives, let's say, for instance, the lambs for the carbon talmud, we say, no, I'm sorry, the carbon talmud has to come from Jews. It can't come from a non-Jewish donation. Right? So when it talks about not accepting from the non-Jew, the carbon which has a zman kavua, it uses the term lechem. Right? Lo sakrivu lechem elokeyem. The chayim mefarish b'yisham perak tal minishchat. It crosses the imen atzon karbono lezevach shlomim koi al pesach shoshto shlo bismano. Now comes the Yerushalmi and explains our pasuk as follows. When our pasuk talks about bringing tzon with karbon shlomim, bringing a sheep as a karbon shlomim, it's not talking about just stam. A person wakes up one morning and decides that he wants to bring a karbon shlomim and decides to bring a sheep. It's talking about a specific instance. It's talking about where a person was makdish, he sanctified a sheep as a carbon Pesach, and then he, for whatever reason, shechts it not on Erev Pesach. Right? Okay, that was a big mistake. Well, okay. Mistakes happen. Right? So when you shecht the carbon Pesach, right, it counts as a shlomim. Right? Uvizvachim perektes, daftes, uvizvachim daftes, mokilo b'moser Pesach. Right? In Masechet Zvachim, there's a similar discussion with regard to this passage over here in Vayikra. And it says that we're also, we're talking about Moser Pesach. In other words, you set aside money to buy a carbon Pesach, and the carbon Pesach ends up being cheaper than the money, you know, less than the amount of money you set aside. So now with the extra funds, which were already dedicated to buy a carbon Pesach, you buy another sheath, and you bring it as a carbon shlamim, but it has a shtickle, a little bit of a Pesach connection to it. Shebe'emes psachim l'chol Yisrael ha'yel alafim. Finished Iro Harbay, there were probably many animals that were dedicated to be a carbon Pesach and ended up not getting shechted, or the money wasn't spent. Lachem kosuv lechem. That's why, with regard to the sheep which is being caught as a carbon shlamim, it describes it as lechem. Lahoros dehu midvarim shehem lechem. Vehemi karbar shechov al yisrael lahavi bismano v'din zmano yesh lahem laktara. In other words, how did Chazal know that this passage in Vayikra that talks about bringing a sheep as a carbon shlamim has anything to do with the carbon Pesach? It doesn't say Pesach anywhere in our chapter. Where did they get it from? So says the Mesher Chacham, from one word, lechem. Right? The minute that you describe a carbon shlamim as lechem, you're basically saying this is a carbon which was not just a purely voluntary carbon. This was a carbon that in some way was a carbon chova, was a carbon that in some way was connected to a obligation, a carbon that's supposed to be brought at a set time. How would you get such a carbon shlamin of, they're shalmei tzibur, right? But how does a yachid bring a carbon shlamin as something which would be zmano kavua, which would be connected to a regular time? The case where you have that is something connected to the carbon Pesach. V'lochein loksiv babakar. And that's why it only uses this term lechem with regard to sheep and with regard to goats, not with regard to cattle. V'horos zed the Pesach ein obam in abakar. Right? Because Pesach can't come from cattle. You can bring a goat as a carbon Pesach, you can bring a sheep as a carbon Pesach, but you can't bring a bull as a carbon Pesach. V'hodik ziv is ovachto Pesach son uvokar. The pasuk in Re'eh describes how you bring sheep or cattle as a carbon Pesach. Hu al chagiko, the Pirush Ratzav. That's talking about the carbon chagiko, which you would bring potentially from cattle. But a carbon Pesach can only be from sheep or from a goat. Right? The Gabbat Al-Mum, just to summarize here, and then we'll see what he says a little bit further on. Chiddush, that the word lechem, whenever it appears with regard to karbonos, means a type of karbon, which is zmano kavua, which has a set time attached to it. Second chiddush, the usage of that word in this parsha of shlamim is the tip-off, that the parshios about shlamim are really talking about a karbon that in some way was supposed to be a karbon pesach. And, okay, you couldn't use it as a carbon Pesach for whatever reason. So you ended up using it as a shlamim. It's not just a pure shlamim over here. How do we know that? Lechem. Right? So this one word, again, if you just know how to read the Chumash properly, says the Mesher Chochma, you have all these code words in here, which tell you how Chazal came to the halachic conclusions they did when reading the Chumash. Let me take this lechem idea one step further, says the Mesher Chochma. The Gavi Balmum, Parshas Emor. If you take a look in Parshas Emor, so that's Vayikra Chof Aleph Chof Ches. Chof Aleph, I think, right? Yeah, so Chof Aleph, Chof Aleph. Kol ish asher bo mum mizera Aaron HaKohen lo yigash lehakrivas yishei Hashem. Any person from the descendants of Aaron HaKohen who has a mum, or has a blemish, or is a Kohen Baal mum, lo yigash lehakrivas yishei Hashem. He should not come close to bring the fire offerings of God. So that's pretty clear, right? If Baal mum is not allowed to bring karbonos to the Beis HaMikdash. But then the pasuk goes on to basically say it over again. Mumbo, he has a blemish. Eslechem alokov lo yigash lehakriv. The bread of his God, he should not come close to bring us a karbon. Been there, done that. The pasuk seems to be totally redundant. Right? The first part of the pasuk says that Baal Mum shouldn't bring karbonos. And then the second part of the pasuk says the Baal Mum shouldn't bring karbanos. So, you know, clearly it's not redundant, right? So what's the hesber? What does it mean? She says, I'll tell you what it means. The first part of the pasuk means zeh karbanos she'ein zmanim kavua. It means that a Baal Mum is not allowed to bring karbanos that do not have a set time, because after all, the karbanos referred to in the first half of the pasuk are just called ishei Hashem, the fire offerings of God. So in other words, if you're a kohen Baal Mum and a guy shows up to Beis Hamikdash one day and says, I'd like to bring an olas nedava, a voluntary fire offering, you can't do it. What's the second half of the pasuk? As lechem elokav lo yigash lehakriv pirush af b'tzmidin v'chol karbonos tzibur shlohutur baal mum. Right, the second half of the pasuk is telling you that not only can a kohen baal mum not bring a karbon which doesn't have a fixed time, but he can't even bring a karbon which does have a fixed time. As lechem elokav lo yigash lehakriv, he can't even bring lechem, you know, something which has a fixed time. So you'll ask me. Right. Well, first of all, you ask me, why would there be a distinction? I mean, is a Baal Mum, is a Baal Mum, is a Baal Mum? I mean, so a Baal Mum for this, or is a Baal Mum for that? Why should there be a distinction? So he says beautifully, Kamosha Hutter Tumah B'Tzibur. What do you mean? We know that the concept that Tumah Hutter B'Tzibur, that namely, if the entire Tzibur, a sizable portion of the Tzibur is Tomei, so then they can bring karbanos even in that state of tumah. We know that there are certain allowances which are made for the karbanos of the tzibur. So one might have reasoned, I mean, it would have been reasonable to say that, you know, a kohen baal mum maybe can't bring somebody's private karbon. All right, this is zelo dachos. All right, so if he doesn't bring his karbon today, he'll bring his karbon tomorrow. So tomorrow there'll be a kohen who's not a baal mum who's on duty. Okay, you know, so the other kohen will deal with it. But here it is. Imagine the following scenario. It's time to bring the Talmud Shel Shachar. And last night, the Kohanim all had their varsity game. And everybody's sleeping late, except for the one kohen who's a baal mum. That's why he wasn't on the team, because he's a baal mum. Right? So he's taka awake in the morning. And he wakes up in the morning and he says, oh my gosh, you know, this man Talmud Shel Shachar is about to end. Right? So I'm the man. If not for me, it's not going to happen. So maybe you would say, okay, so then a Baal Mum could bring such a karbon. It's Zmano Kavua. It's time-based. You know, it's time-sensitive. Okay, so you let a Baal Mum bring it. All right, you know, so no. It's Lechem Elokav. Well, you got to have to. This Baal Mum can't even bring Lechem. Well, you might have had a Havam, you know, that like Tumah, we make certain allowances when it comes to a karbon of the Tzibur, a karbon which is Zmano Kavua. But comes the pasuk and is mechadesh. Not only can the kohen baal mum not bring a private karbon, he can't even bring a public karbon where there's a time that's attached to it. So in other words, the two parts of the pasuk are not redundant at all, says the Meshech Chachma. Just once you know how to translate the words in Chumash, the word lechem with reference to the karbonos means a karbon that has a zman kavua. The cost of Aaron hakohen. Shehu b'kuhunaso goram lizaro sha'af she'enon kohanim she'en bali mumin kivuin mitchilas b'riyoson ochlin b'kotshim. Right? So we know though that a baal mum, although he can't bring karbonos, nonetheless he's allowed to eat the karbonos. Once the karbon is brought, he's allowed to partake in the meat. So he's called, so that's just derech agav. You should know that the pasuk talks about a kohen who has the mum, but he's mizera aron hakohen. He's not out of the club, right? And since he's a descendant of Aaron HaKohen, he's still allowed to eat the karbonos. He may not be allowed to bring the karbonos, but he's still allowed to partake in the karbonos themselves. Right? So here, again, you know, by defining the word lechem in this particular way, which is not a blanket rule from Chazal. This is one place in Taras Kohanim where Chazal say, with regard to the non-Jews bringing a carbon to the Beis HaMikdosh, you know, he can't bring lechem. And that, say Chazal, in that context, refers to a carbon, shizmano kavua. So now, building on that, the Meshech Chachma takes that idea, starts applying it to many, many other psukim, and all of a sudden opening our eyes to the fact that so many of these ideas in Tarashev al-Peh are really, in a sense, in Tarashev b'Ksav, almost black on white if you just know how to translate properly and how to understand the Chumash. Okay. Want to talk about a few... Let's see how much time we have. A few points that he has with regard to Parashat Kohen Moshiach. And if you take a look in Perek Dalet in Vayikra, beginning of Vayikra Perek Dalet, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, Lemar, speak to the Jewish people saying, Nefesh kisechto b'shkalka mikol mitzvos Hashem asher lo seyosena. When a person sins unintentionally from all of the mitzvos, v'asa me'achas me'heno, and he does one of them, these are the laws that govern the various karbanos that are brought in the case of a unintentional sin. And then we're told as follows. If the anointed Kohen, you know, as the Kohen Gadol sins, and it becomes the guilt of the people, he has to bring a par, a bull, to Hashem as a korban chatos. Right? The Gemara Harius explains that what we're talking about over here, this parosh of Kohen Moshiach is the case, the Kohen Gadol was not just a Kohen Gadol, he was a Rebbe. He was someone who taught Torah to call Yisrael. He was Mara Hara. He passed in Shilas for people. If the Kohen paskins that a certain thing is he paskins that a certain thing is mutter also, he's Mara Hara, and then he acts on the basis of his own Hara, and it turns out that his hora'a was an error, in other words, what he ruled was an error, so then he has this unique type of carbon chathos which he's supposed to bring. It's a very unique sort of situation. Because normally carbon chathos means the person, you know, just stopped, he messed up and made a mistake, right? Here, the hora'a, here it's the Kohen Gadol's hora'a, you know, his ruling on a particular issue and then following through on his own ruling, and then discovering that his ruling was an error, which is mechayev him, which obligates him to bring the carbon chatos, right? So a few I'm sorry? Parhel Dovah Shel Tzibur is where the Sanhedrin paskins, and people follow it, and then the Sanhedrin realizes that they made a mistake. That's the next discussion, right? That's on the same parak, Pasuk Gimel. Vim kol adas Yisrael yishku, v'nelam dovrim enei akol. Right, so first we talk about the Par Kohen Moshiach, you know, and then the Par Hel of Dovah Shel Tzibur, which is really the Sanhedrin, being Mori Hora erroneously. Right, so that Nekuda doesn't seem to come out. In other words, you know, they would follow a psak of Sanhedrin, but in other words, he himself would be Mora for himself, and then end up following himself in terms of that. Right. So, let's take a look. Very interesting idea that he has. Kuf Ayin Vav, towards the bottom left. Right. Very funny phrase. If the Kohen who's anointed sins, La'ashmas ha'am, for the guilt of the people. So the Targum Yonason, translates this pasuk as follows: L'mikra karbon chovas amei deloki hilchasa. That the Kohen brings the karbon of the sin of his people in an improper fashion. What does that mean? So it says in the Shachachma it means as follows: Habir hu al pi divrei hamedrash rabo v'ira. Im yisaser ish b'mistarim v'anilo erenu v'neum Hashem. Im yatmin adam atzmo lavodazora. Animar ehu lebrios. Hu lefi mashenemar arur asher yatzeh peselu matzeva v'som basose. He quotes a medrash that says that if a person does avodazorah in a hidden fashion, trying to hide himself from people at large, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will unmask and reveal that person. Right? So if you do Avodah Zarah privately, don't think you can get away. Hashem will unmask you. What does that have to do with us? The truth is, you really have to ask the kasha. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow the Kohen Gadol to be Moreh Hora'ah in a way which is erroneous? I mean, after all, the Kohen Gadol isn't just Sam, you know, okay, he smicha from here, he smicha from there, you know. The Kohen Gadol, you know, consulted the Urim V'Tumim, at least during the Bayis Rishon. He's close to God, right? And we have a concept in general that Ragli Chassid of Yishmor, God watches over the tzaddikim. Afil be'emden shol tzaddikim. The Gemara says that even the animal that belongs to tzaddikim isn't going to commit an aveira inadvertently. So how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow such a thing that the Kohen Gadol is going to pass in shilus erroneously? Shouldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu protect him? Achatzib bohim akoyin Mashiach enu makriv akorbanu shol yom hakipur l'tnai v'lifnim kilchasam. You know what brings about the failure of the Kohen Gadol in this realm? You know, the fact that he's going to pass it erroneously, it must be that he did something wrong on Yom Kippur when he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right? Asher Shom Ein Ish Yodeya. There, it's together, and he saw Sir Ish B'Mistarim. He's all alone in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There are no checks and balances there. Right? If he messes up in there, there's no nanny camp. You know, no one's going to call him on it. Right? What's that? But the Ali didn't always happen. I guess there are infractions and there are infractions, right? In other words, I guess he could mess up, but not mess up seriously enough that he would die on the spot, right? So that's what he says, right? Oz, just the third line, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Machshilo Behora'a, right? So really, as an onesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about that the Kohen Gadol subsequently, when he messed up on Yom Kippur, sometime after that, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring about that he's going to paskin for the people erroneously. So it becomes blatantly obvious to everyone that even this Kohen Gadol requires kapara. We thought this Kohen Gadol was going into the Kodesh HaKadosh to gain atonement for us. Right? And we have no idea, really. We have no way of knowing whether he's doing a good job, a bad job, and a different job. There's no rating, you know, that comes out afterwards. I guess in the worst case scenario, he dies. Right? But, okay, you know, short of that, there's no way to really rate the job that he's doing. So there is a way, says the Meshech Chachma, because if he goes lifnai v'lifnim, and he doesn't do things properly, so rest assured, he will mess up in his horos sometime thereafter, and he's going to have to bring this carbon chatos, and everyone's going to know. We relied on him to be mechafir for us. He needs the kapara himself. He's not such great shakes himself. So that's pshat in pasuk. If the Kohen Gadol sins and issues a hara, you know, inadvertently, it's la'ashmas ha'am. It's because he didn't do a good enough job wiping away the guilt of the people. It's because he wasn't sufficiently put together when it came to Yom Kippur. Well, the Zem Yushav Mashakosov Gali Parko in Mashiach as Pnei Parochas Hakodesh, of a partial Sibelo Kosov Hakodesh. That also explains the following issue. If you look in Perek Dalit Pasuk Vav, when it talks about the Par Kohen Mashiach, it says V'Tovel HaKohen Es Etzbo Badom V'Hizo Min Adom Sheva Po'om L'Fnei Hashem Es Pnei Parochas HaKodesh. He sprinkles the blood in the direction of the Holy Parochas, right? Or actually not the Holy Parochas, the Parochas which divides between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodosh, obviously the Parochas HaKodosh, right? But the Parochas HaKodesh, the Parochas which divides between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodoshim. In contrast, the next paragraph, which describes the Parhel and Dovish of Tzibur, when the Sanhedrin issues a hara erroneously, and the procedure for that carbon chatos is very, very similar. There it just says, V'hitho sheva pa'om l'fnei Hashem es p'nei ha-parochas. It speaks about sprinkling the blood seven times in the direction of the parochas, not the parochas ha-kodesh, but just the parochas. Why does he stress over here parochas HaKadosh? So Zoker, he says, that the Mirames, the Bezen Yisafir, Gamasha Kilkel, Bevoel HaKadosh, with Naivu Lefnim. Right? When the Kohen Gadol brings his par, his Karban Chathos, he's being Mechafir for his specific Hora'ah, but also retroactively, he's being Mechafir for whatever failure to do the avoda properly he performed back on that Yom Kippur. So in other words, he's being mechafir for the sin of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the sin that took place when he went into the Holy of Holies. So Mimela, he's being mechafir the Parochet and the Kodesh, right? He's being mechafir for that as well, something which is not relevant when we talk about the Par Helam Dovish of Sibur. So we find the term l'chafir b'kodesh with regard to the avodah on Yom Kippur. So this par chathos of the Kohen Gadol is being mechafir retroactively for that as well. Right. So fascinating idea. The Meshech Chachma says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, besides the specific application. But, the notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects tzaddikim, that's true up to a point. But where the tzaddik has messed up, and it's impacted on other people, that his seeking kapara for Kal Yisrael on Yom Kippur was incomplete, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show the people that, he's not so ay-ay-ay.
And to... And in that similar way, we find also in other places that Hashem is sort of enables someone to have a kapara that they need, like in case of little guy who go by accident and
Right. So you can understand it in two ways. It's not just the shtoch, it's an opportunity. But the need for the opportunity is because, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring out that...
But also, you could say that one is relative, because he is at this time.
Right.
Moreover, maybe he made a mistake, or he knew that Hashem
caused him to make a mistake.
Whatever mistake he made in the severe,
he would have died.
He would have been zapped on the spot.
Right.
It wasn't that big a deal, but for him, maybe he had a higher standard, and therefore Hashem has to do
this
whole.
Yeah, you could look at it that way as well. They messed that on Yom Kippur.
Right.
So you have a positive, you both have a positive spin out of that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking to help the Kohen Gadol, to help Klal Yisrael. And bring the best things to orchestrate the kapara. Right, 100%. Yes.
Why if he did something in the Kodesh Kodesh, which was a mistake, and the Eidush causes him to be Mar Rehavash, Lo Kalacha, that's the expression. But when you read Shulchan, it said, he used the term Yechato, something to that effect. And the big motor of Ra was not, he didn't have clear on that. So really that's not Kathos.
Saying God's okay.
Right. What he did maybe in the Aram Kodesh in the construction was
Bechira.
Maybe it was right, clear, but this was no clearer. This gave us cause of sin.
Right. So here it becomes a very tricky sort of thing. What's the role of Bechira over here? I don't think, it's a fine line. I don't think the Meshech Chacham would say God made him sin. Because obviously, every person has Bechira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can lead someone in such a way.
It's not something that you can even say
it's showing.
I mean, it's like
no, I would say it's an onus. In other words, had he learned the sugi a little bit better, he would have done a better job. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it easier for him to fall into this trap, as we find that v'derech sh'adam ro'aseh l'lech kach malichin also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can lead you along, he can lead you to the water, but ultimately it's you who make the decision to drink.
Right.
With the best of... Yeah, I think if it's a shikol hadas, it's probably not called a toast. Right, in this context, I'm not sure, but probably something that's a little more obvious that he makes a mistake about.
Really?
Right, it's a real mistake. And again, it's not that can't blame it on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe made it easier for him to fall into the clutches of making such a mistake. You know, but to say that Hashem really took away his Bechira, I don't know if the Meshech Chacham would be going so far as to say such a thing. Okay, so we'll pick up next week, as Hashem. We are changing the clocks next week, but at least for next week, we'll keep the Shir at 9 o'clock. Maybe we'll discuss if with the change in clocks, and, you know, at least for the men, davening Ma'ariv considerably later, maybe it makes sense to have the Shir right after Ma'ariv, and we can, you know, think about that and talk about that, Beth Hashem, you know, after next week. But next week, for sure, we'll keep the Shir at 9 o'clock. Okay? Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mazakas Yisrof Yikach Eben Tavar Misr Shneem Adonai Chofis Man Sidka Yagdil Tzorah V'Yazir. Good enough.